Jesus himself gives this in verse 37 to 39. I'll just sort of quote it in a paraphrase. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Men and women eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and they had no idea that judgment was coming until it came and swept them all away. Indifference to God. Do you remember Genesis 6 when God said, I'm going to destroy mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth because all of his thoughts are evil all the time. And it was as though God was just speaking into the wind. No one was paying any attention to him at all. And then the flood came. And today, people eating, drinking, giving in marriage, nothing wrong with those things. Nothing. It's just normal everyday activities, right? Except when they're all done with no acknowledgement of God at all. Complete indifference to God. And this rising atmosphere of secularism and atheism is astounding. Because there is a God in heaven. And I believe judgment has begun in the world and in this nation. But we're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and I think the malls are packed and the stadiums are packed and people talking about what's happened on the latest sitcom and worried about all their entitlements, and they have no idea they're living on an abyss and judgment is getting ready to fall.
And you can put the other thing up now too, Brandon. Well, did you catch what she said? Indifference to God. And so I want to talk to you just a few minutes. I always say that, but it gets longer. Actually, I practiced this at home. It took a couple of hours. But when I when I look at your faces, it all just went right out of my head, so don't worry. As soon as he gets that up, we'll have the scripture for tonight is going to be in Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 23. Talking about heart conditions, indifference to God. I don't know if you really have thought about how many times we say the word heart. I mean, it's like you say about a person, they have a good heart, right? You've met people who you thought had a good heart. Or you've said that person is heartless. Or that was a heartless thing to do to somebody. We say that without really thinking about it. And our heart is the most important thing that we have. It's the real you. And the heart is the mind, it's the thoughts, it's the will, and it's the affections. And it's what you really are. It's who you really are. And I want to talk to you a few minutes about that tonight. My son and my youngest son and my daughter-in-law are getting ready to have their first baby. And she's about 6 months now. But I remember when they first went to the doctor and they first heard the heartbeat, they called us after that appointment and they said, we heard the baby's heartbeat. And someone has put it this way, life begins at the first heartbeat and it ends at the last heartbeat. So your heart, physically and spiritually, is the center of your life. The first person I ever heard say this, and I'll tell you what this is in just a minute, was Marilyn Hickey. And it's been years and years ago, but whenever she was teaching, I can't teach without my hands, so I'm sorry. I know I'm pointing and I'm waving. But whenever she was teaching and she said something she wanted you to remember, here's what she'd do. She'd say, now put your hand on your heart and say, I will not forget. And then everybody'd say, I will not forget. And then she'd tell you what she didn't want you to forget. But she'd make you put your hand on your heart. Now, I heard Bob Rogers say that on TV just a couple days ago. Put your hand on your heart. Pastor said it on Sunday, I think. So we often say that because that heart is the place of our will and our emotions and our affections. And it's the most important thing that we have that we need to guard. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. And I want to talk to you about 2016, and as Ann said, that was in like May of 2015. She was at some conference, and I wrote it down. I think I left that piece of paper at home. But the important thing is what she said. And it's true, isn't it? The world today has an indifference toward God. Either they don't acknowledge him at all, or they hate him, or they're very atheistic about it. And even some church people are indifferent to God sometimes. And we need to guard our heart. I heard a lady call, she called K-Love, and I was listening to K-Love, and here's what she said. She was pretty distraught. She wanted prayer. And she said, I'm trying to hold it all together. I don't know what else God wants from me. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I don't know what God wants from me. Well, Casting Crowns has a song. Anybody know what it is? That tells you exactly what God wants from you. What is it? Anybody know? All you ever wanted was my heart. God wants your heart. And if God wants your heart, who else do you think wants it? Yeah. So God and Satan are competing for your heart, for your affections, for your will, for the real you. He wants you too, but God wants your heart. And he wants to pour into you those things that will make you, others say of you, oh, that person has a good heart. I want to be what God wants me to be, don't you? And God doesn't want us to hold it all together. He's the one who holds it all together. It's not about holding it all together. It's about being what he wants us to be and having the kind of heart that we should have. So people are talking about 2016, and I wasn't sure anybody would be here tonight. I thought you'd be home watching the, what do they call it? The debate. Yeah. I thought, you know, one of them started at 7, the lower one. Is that right to say, the lower one or the lesser one? And then the other one starts at 9. But I promise you, you'll be home by 9. Maybe 5 till, but you'll be home by 9. But people are talking about 2016. And it's going to be a pretty volatile year, isn't it? But, you know, here's what Perry Stone said. He says that 2016 is going to be a more prophetic year than we've ever seen before. A more prophetic year. So if you think you saw in 2015 a lot of prophecies fulfilled, he says that 2016 is going to be even greater than that. And I heard Bob Rogers say a couple days ago that 2016 is going to be a year where God pours out his love and his grace in a greater way. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? And I believe that too, because wherever sin abounds, what's the word say? Grace does there a much more abound. But here's what Lois Marshall says, if anybody cares. Wow. But this will go down in history, right? Here's what I say. Now is not the time to be fearful. It's the time to be faithful. Amen. 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 I believe God put that in my heart. It's not the time to be fearful. Do you know being fearful won't help you? It won't help me, but being faithful will.
That's right.
If you'll be faithful, it'll be okay. God will take care of us. I don't know who's going to be president. One of the pastors that I have a great respect for, Dr. Robert Jeffries, y'all know who that is? He has a 12,000 membership church, Baptist church in Dallas, Texas, First Baptist Dallas, Texas, 12,000 members. And y'all know him, right? Oh, my goodness, you haven't seen him on TV? Yeah, I know Don has. He's pretty awesome. And for a Baptist guy, he's right up there. But he says, although he's been on TV, he's been on Fox, he's been on Hannity, he's been everywhere. He's been everywhere, man. But he said, I heard him say recently, although I can't, because I'm a pastor, really endorse any candidate, I really think that Donald Trump would make a great president. So I'm thinking, wow, now that's quite a statement coming from him, because he is a man that I really admire. Okay, so let's turn to Proverbs 4:23. It's up there on the screen. No, the scripture's not up there. Brandon, can you pull that scripture up or not?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, is it up there? I can't. Oh, that is it. Yes, of course. It's in the big writing. That's it. That's just that one verse. But it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. Another translation say, for the issues of life flow from your heart. In other words, if you have a good heart, good things will flow from you. If you don't, it'll be a different story. I want to read you some scriptures before we go on with that. And I'm going to get my papers all mixed up here, but let me find it. Just so you don't think I'm making all this stuff up, let me read you some scriptures about the heart in the New Testament. These are things that Jesus had to say. Matthew 12:34. You can write them down, or you don't have to turn there. You won't have time. Matthew 12:34 says, Jesus speaking, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Matthew 15:18 says, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them." Jesus was talking about, it's not what you take in, it's not what you eat, it's not those things that defile you. It's what comes out. It's what comes out of a person's mouth. Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." And Mark 7:21, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, and murder." And Luke 6:45, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So, you know, anybody that knows the scriptures, if they listen to you talk, you can't fool them. Because what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Amen. And my prayer tonight is that what God has put in my heart will come out my mouth and be edifying to you. The Hebrew for that verse in 23, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it," actually in the Hebrew is, "Above all keeping, keep your heart." Above all keeping, keep your heart. And here's what he means. He means there are lots of things in life to keep. Ron's trying to keep track of his checks. But we got to keep track of our family. We got to keep our finances. We got to keep our jobs. I mean, those are all things that we have to keep or to take care of or to guard. All those things. Maybe you're taking care of your grandkids. Maybe you still have kids at home. But those are all responsibilities that you have to maintain. But what the writer there in Proverbs, or what the meaning there in Hebrew in that scripture in Proverbs means is, above all those things, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. And really, you could put it this way, guard your relationship with God. Because that's what matters. It's almost like that scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." In other words, if you guard your heart above all those things that are going on in your life, God will add all those things that you need to maintain proper responsibility for all the other things that go into your life. Now, there's a lot of things in life that clamor for our attention, and always has been, always will be. But that's not going to change. So I want to give you a few things tonight. On Christmas Day, our family has a tradition of going to the movies. Now, after we get together and, visit a while, and we eat a while, and we open gifts, and then we play games, and then we go to the movies. And we went to see Star Wars this year, and I really enjoyed it. But in thinking about that, I thought about what life is like today. And to me, it's like a Star Wars movie. And I know you've seen these things where the planet is about to explode and the rocks are falling. I mean big rocks. And people are dodging them and the floor is giving way. And it's getting ready to crumble and everything's going to explode. Well, right before that fireball explodes, there's a spaceship that comes out and at warp speed, and then it goes and explodes. But you know what? That spaceship, when you see that spaceship at warp speed come out of that planet, and then you see the planet explode, you have hope, because you know that somebody was in the spaceship and at least somebody survived, and they're going somewhere and start life again. So, it, you know, that's a good ending because, but that's what life is like today. It feels to me like it's about ready to explode. Isn't that the way it feels to you? That there's just going to be this big fireball and you don't know when it's going to hit. But you know what? But I know God's got a plan. He's got a spaceship that warp speed is going to shoot us out of all that. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's all going to be okay. So no matter how bad it gets, even if it explodes, God is still God, and he's still on the throne, and it's going to be okay.
Amen.
So what are we guarding our hearts from in that scripture? Just a few things, and I don't have time to talk about each one of them. And we could talk about each one of them, but I really would be here 2 hours if I did. But here's just five things and I know you'll understand because you see the things going on in this world. And tonight, you here are the cream of the crop because there are many other places you could be. And with the condition of the world, you'd think this place would be full. But that's the indifference that we have to God that she talked about. Number one, we're guarding our hearts from coldness. We're guarding our hearts from hardness, from hatred, from unbelief, and from pride. And I'm going to talk about a couple of those a little bit, but not all together. So what attacks are coming against our hearts every day as we live in this world that make those things present in our lives, that coldness, that hardness, that hatred, that unbelief, and that pride? Well, some of it is stresses that happen at work. I like visual pictures. I guess you figured that out. But it helps me understand things. Have you seen that commercial where they shoot that big cannonball out and it hits that boat and it tears a big hole in the boat? Y'all don't watch TV, do you? But anyway, they shoot that cannonball out of a cannon and it hits this rowboat and it tears a big hole in it, and they do it like two or three times. And then they take this, and this is what they're advertising. They're advertising this sealant, and then they put that sealant over the hole, and then they put the boat in the water, and the boat floats. Well, that big cannonball, you got to see that commercial. I'm going to have to send it to you. I'll get Laura to send it to you. She's good. Have you seen it, Sam? No? Okay. All right, you guys, come on now. But that's what it reminds me of. It's these things that come at you in your life is like that big cannonball just kind of aimed right at your heart and is trying to blow a big hole right in your heart. And some of those things, those big cannonballs, are stresses that happen at work. Anybody ever had a stress at work? Jobs are sometimes our number one stress, aren't they? But we have to have one, and we have to go there. So those things are stresses at work are things that we need to guard against because they will come against our heart. And then there's quarrels and disagreements that happen at home. So you're either at your job or you're at home. I hope you're not in the bars. You shouldn't be. So there's only two places that you primarily are. I mean, maybe three places. Maybe home, the job, and work, and church, I mean. But when you have arguments and strife and disagreements at home, it's like a big cannonball that hits you right in the heart, isn't it? And we have so many divorces and separations and combined families and all of that going on today. You know, when I worked, I remember there was a lot of stress, and I've been retired going on 5 years, and almost every night when I lay down on the bed, oh, don't start crying, Lord, Lois. I get emotional because my heart is sensitive, and I don't want it to be any other way. But when I lay down in the bed at night, almost every night for the last 5 years, I have said, thank you, Lord, for peace, you know, because those stresses of life can really get you down. And whether they're at work or whether at home. And listen, you can have stresses at church too. If your job is at church, boy, that's a double whammy there. If you're the pastor's wife or, you know, you've got a lot of stress going on. We should think of those things when we talk about or wonder about how we're going to treat our pastor's wife or our pastor. They're under a lot of stress, too. We don't want to add to that. And then fourthly, harsh treatment by others. Do you know that's a big stress when people treat you bad? I mean, it's like a big cannonball that comes against your heart, and it hurts you. And so that harsh treatment is probably could be on somebody's number one list, because those are the things that bring offense, and then you're tempted to have unforgiveness and those kinds of things. But that's just another thing that we have to guard against if we're going to keep our heart in a right relationship with God and with others. And then lastly, and this is a good one, because I tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen as many sicknesses and diseases in the world today. But maybe sickness, disease, or prolonged illnesses will cause you to, actually, sometimes they cause you to question God's faithfulness to you, don't they? Sometimes you say, why, God? How long is this going to last? And it begins to wear on you. You know, there's that new virus out now. What's that? What's it called? Something, what? Zika? Something like that. And my daughter-in-law is pregnant, and I'm praying, because that's scary. And I heard on the news tonight that, what'd they say, 2.4 million people. So, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus over all of you and myself, because those things will bring stresses to our lives, and they'll hit our hearts. And if we've got to guard against those kinds of things. Three things I want to give you. Everything has a number for me. That you can do. I give you all these things, and I tell you what the problem is, but we got to have a solution. We have to have an answer. So here's some practical things. I'm a very simple person, a very practical person. So these are the things that God has put on my heart. And you know what? I got to read the rest of that before I do that. I want to read the rest of that chapter in Proverbs. There's only verses through 27, but it says, let me do it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, in those verses, it talks about your mouth, and it talks about your eyes, and it talks about your feet. And when I read those, it reminded me that some years ago, it's been quite a while, and after I read that, I've been doing it recently. I was in prayer, and I felt led to do this, and I made a covenant with myself and with God. I called it a covenant. It was just a declaration that I made. And I said, God, I put a watch on my eyes. I put a watch on my ears. I put a watch on my mouth, on my hands, and on my feet, that I will keep myself pure for you. And you know, after I prayed that prayer, I had a change in my life, because I was aware of the things that I looked at, either on TV or places that I went, pictures, newspapers, things that I read, and it made a difference. And also the things, do you know that the Bible says that your eyes are the window of your soul? Well, your soul is your heart. So what you take in with your eyes affects your heart, what you see. All these people that think they can look at pornography and read dirty books and dirty jokes and all that stuff, I mean, they're kidding themselves. They are literally kidding themselves. And then again, what you take in with your ears, what you hear. I tell you, I've gotten to the place where, especially if it's a story or something about an abuse of a child or something like that, I don't want to think of. When I lay down at night, I do not want to think about that stuff. And if you hear it, you will think about it when you lay down at night, when things get quiet and you're by yourself. What you've taken in your ears, you'll think about it. What you see in your eyes, you'll think about it. And it gets into your heart. And then We just read all those scriptures that said what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. So if I put a watch on my mouth, I don't want to speak perversity. I don't want to speak harshness and meanness to other people. I want my heart to be pure. You know what? We got enough of that going on in the world, don't we? I feel sorry for the candidates that are in those debates. I couldn't take that harshness. That mudslinging, that stuff they fling at each other, and I know it's the game they play, and it's Washington politics, but it wouldn't be for me. It would not be for me. But this scripture doesn't mention your hands. But, you know, we can use our hands to do evil, or else we can use them to praise God, right? I want to use my hands to do good. We can use them for the service of the Lord. We can open them up and give them to God and say, Lord, bless the works of my hands. And hasn't he said, whatever you put your hand to will prosper? So if we do good things, he's going to prosper that. We can use our hands to lay hands on the sick and to bring healing to other people. We can use them to work and to give and to bless other people's lives rather than going and doing evil. That's the kind of, that's what we can do to keep our hearts. And then our feet. It says we don't want to walk in places that are perverse and evil. We want our feet to take us places where, you know, if there's a place that you're going that you don't think Jesus would come there with you, maybe you shouldn't be there. Maybe we shouldn't let, you know, God has given us all of this, our feet, our hands, our eyes. It's all a gift from God. It all belongs to him. Shouldn't we use it for him, therefore? Yes, we should. Number one, back to number one here. Oh, I was going to tell you. Yes, I told you that. Well, I'm going to skip that because I'm going to run out of time. I want to read you Romans 12:2. Because one of the main things I want to tell you tonight about how to guard your heart is all wrapped up in transformation. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformation is not, at least it wasn't for me, not just a one-time thing. I'm still being transformed, and I've been saved 45 years. But everybody loves a transformation, don't they? Everybody loves to see a good change. We say we don't like change, but we do like change if it's good, if it's beneficial, if it's financially good for us. Does anybody watch HGTV anytime? Have you ever seen about the houses where they redo houses? Okay, you're shaking your heads. Thank goodness. I like to watch. There's one that I like to watch because it's called Fixer Upper. And JoJo and Chip are Christians, and they're in Texas, aren't they? And they can take these houses that look absolutely horrible and transform them into the most gorgeous place you have ever seen in your life. And sometimes it's just a matter of gutting the bathroom or putting in some kitchen cabinets or tearing down a wall or something like that. But sometimes they take it right down to the studs. And I've heard them say, well, the house has good bones. You ever heard anybody say that? Has good bones. You know what? That is not man's wisdom. That is God's wisdom. I don't know if they know that or not. But you've read Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel had the vision of the dry bones. And God said to him, son of man, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, thou knowest. And then the rest of the vision, all those bones come together. And muscle and sinew, the Bible says, and flesh. And they all get up and they walk. Now, we know that was about Israel. It was about Israel will come to life again. Israel is alive today, isn't it? Praise God. But let me tell you this. Here's the exciting part. You have good bones. You know why you have good bones? Because you're made in God's image. That gives you good bones. And listen, no matter how bad off you see a person, like a house, get the picture now. Even if you take that house down to the studs, it can be transformed into something beautiful. No matter what person you see, no matter how bad they are, they've got good bones because they are made in the image of God, and that person, by God's power, can be transformed into something you never dreamed of. Maybe I've said this before, and if I have, forgive me. But the pastor whose ministry I got saved under said to me, "You were such a worldly little old girl, I didn't think you could ever be saved." And then I knew that he also meant, and I'm waiting to see how long it lasts. 45 years, praise God, give him the glory. So anybody can be saved. And you know what? That doesn't make me mad. I'm not mad at him today. Because he was right. If you didn't know me before I got saved, I mean, if you had known me before I got saved, you would say, yeah, he's right. And I bet I could say that about some of you, too. I am a life that was changed, transformed. So when they have the reveal of this house and the people come that paid the bill, and you walk into this place and you see what they have done to it, oh, my goodness, they say. And they walk through, and they can barely take it in, and their eyes pop out of their heads. And they just go on and on, oh, look at this, and oh, look at that. And that's the way people do about you when they see a transformation taking place in your life. But here's the point. To guard your heart, transformation cannot be a one-day thing. It has to be a continuing transforming of your life. Because here's what happens. If those people that moved into that house and paid that bill are not mindful of keeping what they've paid for, that house will go right back to being the way it was before. They have to sweep the floors and they have to clean the bathroom and you have to wash the dishes and if something falls down, you have to pick it back up. And so you have to take care of it. And that's what this scripture is all about. In keeping, above all else, keep your heart. Everybody loves a transformation. There used to be, yeah, I must watch a lot of TV. There's something wrong with me. Y'all better pray for me. There used to be a show on TV about a total makeover of a, it was always a lady, and it's not on anymore, but I saw it way back when, and these ladies would compete for a total makeover of their person. Now, we talked about a house. We're going to talk about a person. I want you to get this picture. If you don't get this picture and you leave here tonight, it's your fault, because I'm telling you I'm giving you every visual that I can. But they take this lady out of her house, the one that won. They take her away from her family, and they take her someplace. I don't know where they took her. And I can't remember if it was for a week or a month or how long it was. I guess depending on how bad she looked. But they took her, and they made her over from top to bottom. And listen, this was no small thing. Sometimes they'd pull her teeth and give her new teeth. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes they do plastic surgery, and they would definitely give her a new hairdo and a professional makeup and professional clothes, and maybe they took her to the gym. Maybe she lost some weight. I don't know. But here comes the reveal now. She's standing at the top of the stairs. Get the picture. The spotlight's on her. All these people are down below. She's elevated, and her family's there, her mom and her dad and her husband and everybody's uncle's brother and the people they pulled in off the street, too, to see this reveal. And here she comes. Oh, boy. What a transformation. Her family doesn't know her. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's been transformed into something because she had good bones to start with. But you see that transformation. She can go home and put on that old raggedy nightgown and, you know, not comb her hair, not wash it, and not keep up what they've done for her, and she's going to look just like one of us. I'm kidding. Yes. Okay.
I'm bringing this down to what happened here a few weeks ago.
Now, wait, no, that's my next point. Oh, a few weeks ago? No, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, let me give you the third point, and if I don't say it, I'll let you say it. Okay. All right. Okay. But the point I want you to get is that she has to continue that transformation. They gave her a gift, but she has to keep it. She has to maintain and guard what somebody gave her and she got for free, right? You are requisitioned to keep the gift that God has given you. And you can't go around saying all the time, oh, the devil made me do it, you know. Right. And we have a book of excuses a mile long, and we should be reading our Bible, and we're reading our book of excuses, aren't we? Right. So you know what? If you're going to make it through 2016 and be victorious, you've got to guard your heart.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Dayton. I like Dave. Like, Dave's good. The third thing, how you can guard your... I want to tell you about one more transformation before I go on. I think this is where Becky's going. You are setting... Land can be transformed. You are setting in a place that was one of the ugliest pieces of land I've ever seen. Wasn't it Jess? Wasn't it Ron? Wasn't it Don? Bob Hart's not here. Samantha's here. This place was ugly. Oh, it was...
It was nasty.
It had an old building on it. If you didn't see it before, you need to find a picture. It had an old parking lot, was right over there. It had sat there for what, 30 years? More than that? It was dilapidated, and I'm not sure it had any bones left. But then there was ruts in the, there was big sinkholes, and then there was hills, and there was concrete. Where all that concrete came from, I have no idea. But there was gravel, and there was garbage, trash, everything. And so people came in with heavy equipment, and they, I don't know how long that took you guys. But this land went through a transformation, didn't it? And you had to level out you had to put dirt in the holes, and you had to get the dirt off the banks, and you had to pick up the garbage. And so, but look where we're sitting today. You are in a transformed place. And you know what? God's not done. We don't want to stop there. We have to continue to transform this property into what God has called it to be. And now we have the annex. And now we got a barn back here, I think. I haven't seen it yet. But God has given us a great gift, a transformation. And we walk in here and we say, ooh, ah, oh, it's beautiful. Yes. And it is. But it can look just like it had looked when there was old trailers and all kinds of things that was on this lot. And people, you know, and people drove by this place for years, and you just turn your head. It was so ugly. Who would have thought that it would become so beautiful? But it does, and it can. Praise the Lord. And God has a plan to continue to transform this place, this property. Do you know what the scripture says? The scripture says that the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. You don't own this ground. God does. This belongs to God. We're just borrowing it until he comes and gets us and reclaims everything. So, you know, I try not to get to the place where I think this is mine, that's mine, because really, I don't own anything. I don't even own me. Well, I did that last time, so I'm not going to do it again. Becca, is that what you were going to say? Okay, say it. Okay, say it.
No, I was sitting here thinking, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe longer, Angie came in and went forward. And
she's going to cry too.
She is a transformation.
Hallelujah.
Right? Laura? And I know Laura was up there ministering, and that's a long story there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thanks, Beck. That's good. Let me see where I am.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
My dad was 76 or 78 years old, and he was sitting on the front porch. And I was sitting out there with him, and I started witnessing to my dad, and I had many times. And he gave his life to the Lord. He said he always wanted to, but he could never live it. And I told him he didn't have to be perfect to live it. You know, we're all sinners. And, that if he tried and gave his life to the Lord, he could be in heaven. And he said that's what he wanted. And so we had a prayer and called J.D. Traylor over. And J.D. witnessed to him, too. And he was baptized the same day my youngest daughter was. And, but you know something else? My mom would never let him forget about the days he wasn't a Christian, you know. She always kept bringing these things up, and I said, Mom, he has been forgiven by God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God.
People will, if you're, if you're around the same people, they want to drag you right back to where you were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's go on. I got 15 minutes. I know you want to go home. Now, this don't forget. I'll make you put your hand over your heart if you forget. The number one thing I told you was you need to put a watch on your eyes and your ears and your hands and your feet, and you do that through prayer, and you commit yourself. Guarding your heart is about guarding what you say and what you do and where you go and how you act and that kind of thing. And then secondly, to guard your heart. You want to keep on transforming. You don't want to stop. You don't want to go back. You want to always go forward. Let God bring about the changes in your life that He wants to. You never get too old to change. And you never get too old to get better. I've gotten to the place where when I go to prayer, almost the first thing I say is, Lord, change me and make me better than I am today. Because you know what? I have gotten to the place where I totally trust God. And I look forward to what He can make me. I can be better. I can be one of those transformed houses or people or land or whatever. I can be gorgeous in God's sight. And spiritually, I'm talking about. So here's number three. Number three thing to guard your heart is to stay humble. I didn't say this, but someone did, and I wrote it down. It says, maybe nothing is more devastating to the human heart than pride. And I'm not just talking about spiritual pride, too. And a person that's been saved as long as I have or as long as you have, it's easy for the devil to come in and tempt you to be proud spiritually of where you are or, you know, what you know or whatever, something like that. The Jews, I read this and I thought this is so interesting. The Jews often bragged about being Abraham's seed. And so this is what I'm talking about, spiritual pride. And being the people of God. And they were and they are. And we can do that too, because, you know, we're grafted in. We're just like the Jews. And we can become spiritually proud of being the called of God or the gifted of God or the blessed of God. But I want to read you Matthew 3:9, what John the Baptist said about that. Here's the scripture. He was speaking to the Jews. He was baptizing, and he was calling people to repentance, and they were coming to him to be baptized. And some of them were saying, I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to repent. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm a child of God. You know what? I don't think I need to come to you and be saved. I don't think I need to repent. But here's what John the Baptist said. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. So let's don't get on our high horse and get too proud of who we are. You know, you can be proud of who you are. You can be proud of what you've done. You can be proud of how rich you are. You can be proud of your education. You can be proud of where you've been. You know, you can be proud of a lot of things. But, you know, pride is what Lucifer's problem was, isn't it? He said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. And when we start getting into that thing where it's all about me, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been here, and I've been there, and I know how to do this. We can even be proud of our capabilities and our gifts and our talents. But let me, I don't think a lot of people know, I got to get my paper here, what the real definition of humble is. Does humble mean that I can't say anything good about myself? Does it mean I have to stand up here and say I'm some worm or, you know, talk negative about me? You wouldn't listen if I did that. That's not what it means to be humble. Not at all. The definition of humble is this: having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own, now here's the word, don't miss it, importance. Importance. It doesn't say you can't have self-esteem. Everybody needs self-esteem. Everybody needs dignity. Dignity is a different thing than pride. A humble heart, guarding yourself against pride, does not mean that you can't ever say anything good about yourself. You should say good things about yourself. Here's what somebody put it in these words. Being humble is not about confessing I'm a worm, but rather about acting or rather about not acting or feeling that you are more important than others. Amen. I don't care who you are, what you got, how you dress, where you live. Right. You are not more important than anybody else. And, you know, Raymond back there, he's probably the best motorcycle rider there is. But that doesn't make him more important than any of you. And some of you have gifts and talents that you're better at than anybody else. And those gifts and callings are from God. And you're to use those in the service of the Lord, like Raymond does. And most of you do. I don't know about every one of you. But when we get to thinking that we're more important than anybody else, here's what happens. We actually accuse God of being a respecter of persons, which he isn't. Because if you think in your heart and portray to others that you're more important than somebody else, or in a better way of saying it is, I'm better than you, then you're saying God likes me better than he does you, and I'm more important to God, and that's just not true. Every man, every woman is important to God because you have good bones. There's not a person here that isn't made in the image of God. See, we're all the same like that. Absolutely, aren't we? Let's see. Oh, do I dare tell you this? Well, maybe I should. Let's see. I got time to tell you this. Now, you think about this, because when I first read this, I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever read. And after I thought about it, I think God changed my heart about it. I actually read it on the Internet. And I think it was... It's been a while, so it was a Christian person. I'm not sure if they were in, I believe they were in some kind of ministry. But it was an article about, you know, yay long, and you know how people answer back and forth on, what do you call it, Twitter, or I don't know, whatever you call it. Facebook. And they were having this conversation about this, and it was very interesting, and it caught my eye, and I thought, I'm going to read that. I don't normally read a bunch of stuff on the Internet because you know it's all true anyway, right? But here's what it was about. They were saying that Christian people were doing too much of this, going around saying, I am blessed. Okay, now think about it. You don't have to agree with it. I wasn't sure I did either. But now you've run into people, and we know people, and I'm not making fun of anybody, that when you ask them how they are, all they ever say is, I'm blessed. And that's okay, but the point of this article was they thought that was a little bit prideful, because You don't know that person that's talking to you. You don't know where they are in their life. They may not be where you are spiritually or physically or financially or any other way. And when you say that constantly, it's like, okay, well, touch you. You're blessed, you know. And sometimes it's not. It sometimes doesn't come across as the best thing to say to a person all the time. Now, everybody says it once in a while. But if you say that every time somebody asks you how you are, they're going to quit asking you how you are. So when somebody asks me how I am, I always try to say, I'm good. I'm good because I am. I'm good because God lives in me. And you're good too. And we can make positive confessions, but I thought that was a good article. That was food for thought. And you can think about it too. But, you know, to me, here's my philosophy of Christian life. You find the balance in everything. And humans will invariably that swing that pendulum all the way over here, or they'll swing it all the way over there. And I think the Holy Spirit is that a stabilizing force in our life that wants us to be balanced in every area of our lives. You don't want to be kooky about Christianity or your spirituality. You don't want to sound to people like, I am so spiritual, just ask me and I'll tell you. You know, you don't want to sound like that. That's not a good witness, and you don't want to act like that. And actually, that can be a form of pride. So that was the last thing. Be humble. But I have a couple minutes left, and I want to read a couple things here for you. Pardon me?
I just say I'm getting better.
You're doing better. Absolutely. Praise God. Now, I don't mean to say, and that's in the commentaries that I read, I don't mean to say that you can keep your heart by yourself. That would be like saying, I can keep the law. You can't. You can't keep your heart with rules and regulations. I can't say to you, don't do this and don't do that and don't say this and don't say that, and it'll keep your heart. No, you can't do it without God. You have to have faith and trust that God will keep your heart. It is your will that you give to Him. It is your affections that you give to Him. And then He will keep your heart, won't He? Lastly, what Matthew Henry, you know who Matthew Henry is, a commentator? You've read his stuff sometimes, I hope. Duh, y'all looking at me like, you are a crazy lady. Matthew Henry puts it this way for these scriptures in Proverbs chapter 4 that we've just read. He says, how to guard your heart? Stay as far away from evil as you can, but never think that you are far enough away. Amen. So, if this is evil right here, and I go over here about 20 feet away, and I say, oh yeah, that's far enough. No. He says, don't ever think that you are far away from enough from evil. So you need to keep going, keep going, keep trucking. There is no end to how far you can get away from evil. Stay as far away from it as you can. And what does the scripture say? It says, avoid even the appearance of evil. I can tell you this, I'm not there yet. I'm headed in that direction. But, you know, it takes sometimes a lifetime. When you get to that place as far away from evil as you can get, you're there. You're there. That's where there isn't any evil, right? Won't be any evil there. So we'll be home when we get that, when we get to that point. And here's the best part. Well, no, it's all been good. I loved it all. Last thing, though. Now listen carefully. Attentive hearing the word of God. This is what Matthew Henry says. Attentive hearing the word of God is a good sign of a work of grace begun in the heart and a good means for carrying it on. We could talk a lot about that, but I only have a couple of minutes. Attentive hearing of the word of God. Now listen, we come to church every Sunday, and sometimes we hear a few words of what the pastor says, and sometimes we don't hear anything. And I'm as guilty as anybody, so I'm not making fun of anybody. But, you know, sometimes you come to church and you're sitting by a person who's been up. Maybe they worked and they got to bed late and they're sleepy and they're yawning and they might get to snoring, you know. They go to sleep in church and, oh, they wake up and they hear a few words. Or maybe they're on some medication, I don't know, that they have to take. And it makes you drowsy. But you've got to be attentive to the Word of God because it's the Word of God that changes you. So here's my admonition for 2016. Hone your listening skills and listen to what God is saying. When you are attentive to the Word of God, that's when God speaks to you. I hear people say, well, God doesn't speak to me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of anybody. But if God does speak, and if you've got your ear tuned to the Word of God, you will hear Him speak to you. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He will discipline you. He will convict you. I think even conviction is good because that's what makes me change. When God says to me, Lois, don't do that again. You need to stop doing that. Okay. You know, I know God cares and He loves me. So for 2016, here's the last thing I have to say. Make this the year that if you've ever had a prayer life, this is a year to get one. And to enhance it and make it longer, pray every day. I heard Bob Rogers say that he promised the Lord that he would read some word every day, no matter if it was just two scriptures. So that's the second thing. If you're ever going to get a prayer life, do it this year. Time's running out. If you're ever going to read your Bible, do it this year, because time's running out. Listen, reading that Bible, that's what renews us and washes us and regenerates us. I would not be here if it weren't for the Word of God. And I got to tell you, there wasn't anybody standing beside me, mentoring me, telling me, you should do this, you should do that. I got it from the Word of God. So don't tell me that it can't be done. I know it can. It will change your life. It can change your life. And you don't need a mentor if you're serious about serving God. You've got a mentor. Who is it? The Holy Ghost. And He will not lead you astray. If you want to depend on some man or some woman, it's okay, I guess. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you will depend and trust the Holy Spirit, He will tell you what you need to know to be the person you need to be. So have a prayer life, have a Bible study life, read the Word of God, no matter how small it is every day. And thirdly, find some place to serve something or somebody. Because you are never going to get out of yourself unless you do something for somebody else. Amen. So, put your hand on your heart and say, I will not forget what I've learned tonight. And I will do in 2016 what God commands me to do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. You enjoy that tonight? Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. Let's all stand. If you would, let's just close your eyes. I want to ask the question tonight. There's a song that goes like this. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone here tonight that you would like for us to agree with you in prayer, whatever your need might be, would you just raise your hand tonight? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you would like prayer, I'd like for you to come up front here, if you would, and just stand and we'll dismiss. And then we'll pray for you. If you would, just come on up front. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word that is true. We thank you that everything that has been brought forth. We thank you, Father, for the heart of God. We thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for each and every one of us. And these that have come forward tonight, we thank you, Lord, that they can leave here different than they came. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask your blessings on everyone that's here tonight. And Lord, may we be Christians at River Valley Community Church family, not only on Sunday and Thursday, but all through the week, we're still the same, loving you and serving you and letting our light shine that others can see Christ in us. Help us to live the life daily. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. We praise you, Lord, and I ask your blessings on everyone here tonight. Give them traveling mercies as they go home. Bless their families. Meet all their needs according to your riches in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.